welcome to the July 16, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by our pastor, Raymond Smith. The sermon is entitled, Looking Ahead. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see all of us as we come in this morning and gather for worship. We have a game for you this morning. We want you during the service to figure out which of the air conditioning fans is not running this morning. I bet if you're the one that's sweating, it's the one near you. So, actually, the balcony is having some issues with the air conditioning. Tyler, I know you're excited about that. I want you, if you want to move down, probably now would be a good time to do that. But hopefully, Raymond's sermon won't be too long, so it won't last. I don't know. It was inspired by the Spirit. I don't know. Or lack of sleep. Let's see. We are excited that all of you are here this morning. My name is Jeff Allen, Associate Pastor of Students and Families here at College Park. We want to get a record of your attendance this morning. There are pew pads. I've seen them already started this morning. There are pew pads on every pew in the church. We want you to take those, members and guests alike, and fill that information out. Members, we ask you just fill your name out and any information that has changed and check the appropriate boxes. And then guests, we invite you to fill out all the information that you feel comfortable filling out and send that down to the end of the pew. When it reaches the end, send it to the back, back to where it started so our ushers can fill that out, can pick those up after the service. Reminder to our children this morning, we are going to be having children's time. That's when all of our children come down front, and they will be meeting me. Lizzie's not here this morning, but we will be down here during children's time right after hymn 206. So we want you to take note of that. Also, tonight is our life service at 7 o'clock right outside on the lawn. We'll be having our life service. Some of our youth who went to youth camp this past week will be sharing testimonies about what happened there. And we hope that you can come and support our young people and to hear something that was pretty amazing that happened down in Garden City this week. It was a great week. We know that many of you were praying for us, and we felt those prayers. And we want to tell you a little bit about how that impacted us. So we hope that you come for the life service tonight. And at about 6:15, why don't you bring your lawn chairs, bring some food, bring a snack, something, and just come and enjoy just some fellowship on the lawn, and we'll start the service at 7 o'clock. I want to recognize Jason Coggle for an announcement.
Good morning. Just a reminder, you'll see printed in your bulletins for Tuesday evening at 6:30. We're going to have a senior adult fellowship in Smith Hall, and I just want to make a brief announcement and reminder about that because I'm really looking forward to it. Feel free to come after dinner, seniors. We're going to have dessert. We're going to have drinks. We're going to have some games and activities. If you've got some particular games or activities that you and your friends like to enjoy, feel free to bring those and share them with the group. But this is just going to be a great time of fellowship together. Smith Hall, 6:30 on Tuesday night. If you have any questions or anything, please see me, and I look forward to seeing you Tuesday evening.
And if you want a full fun day on Tuesday, you can go with the youth to the Dan River trip. We are starting that at 8 o'clock this Tuesday. We're headed up to the Dan River. We're going to be floating down the river all day. And skip work, come to the Dan River trip, go to the game night. It'll be a great day. We hope that the youth that are making I think it'll be a great day. If you want to make plans to make that trip, please let me know before you leave today. A reminder also, this Wednesday, our summer Bible study continues, the Extraordinary Women of the Bible. I didn't read the bulletin before I made the announcement. We have actually a quarterly church conference, no Bible study this week. So that starts at 6:45 this Wednesday, and we'll pick up with Bible study some other Wednesday. Also, the graduation cruise, we have our seniors are headed to the graduation trip. We'll be leaving this week. Please check your email today. I will be sending you some information about that. I think that's all the announcements we have this morning. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests. We have ushers who are coming down the aisles now. They want to give you a little bit of information about the church if you're a guest this morning. So what we ask you to do, just to raise your hand so they can recognize you and pass this information. This booklet of information tells you a little bit about College Park, about where we started and what we do, what we believe, and includes a newsletter as well. So we hope that you take this information and just find out a little bit about College Park. We appreciate you being here in worship with us, and we pray that this hour of worship will be a blessing to you. We begin most every worship service joining our hearts and our voices together with our invitation to share in worship. This is a responsive reading that you will find in your bulletin. I invite you to stand now for our invitation to share in worship. I invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day.
Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples.
You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this glorious day that you have given to us. It is a gift each and every day when we are able to open our eyes or to smell the beautiful creation or to witness through our various senses the fact that you are alive and well. You are not an absent God in some far-off place. You You are the God who came to earth to experience what all of humanity experiences. In you we find someone that we have a connection. Within us, there is a cry for you to make sense of this world and to remind us that this world is not all there is. So, Father, it makes us right and it makes us whole when we gather for worship, because we join all of our hearts together and our voices and our minds and our souls to glorify your name. And that is why we have come this morning. So let all the problems and troubles and questions that have been plaguing us help us to find answers. And for all the ways you have blessed us, hear us praise your name. This is why we are here, to say thank you and to say we love you. For it's in Christ's name that we pray.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning? Oh, we're still coming. All right. Well, Miss Lizzie wanted me to tell you hello. She couldn't be here this morning, but she really misses you. So I'm going to sub in for her. I know it won't be as good as hers, but I'm going to try. Is that okay? Yeah, okay. Listen to me just a minute. We won't take long. I've got a question for you. Have you ever... Now, summertime is a really good time to do this. Have you ever just been outside at night and seen all the stars in the sky?
No.
No? Okay. Who? Can you count how many stars are in the sky?
No.
No, there's a lot of them, aren't there? What? Just take a...
Sometimes there are none because of the clouds.
That's exactly right. The clouds keep us from seeing the stars. Now... Let's see. Can you just take a guess? How many stars do you think there are in the sky?
A million.
Three?
Yeah.
Did I hear three? Okay. Three's a guess. All right. A million's a guess. What else?
Actually, 100.
Well, there are so many ideas of how many stars there are in the sky. And I did a little research, and just in our little corner of the universe, there are... about 100 billion stars that we can see. That's a big number, don't you think? That's a lot of zeros. That's exactly right. That's a lot of zeros. But who made the stars?
God
made the stars. He's pretty great, isn't he?
It probably did.
It would have taken me a long time. It would probably take God just like that. Let me read a scripture verse to you. This comes from Psalm chapter 145, Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord and most worthy of His praise. His greatness no one can understand. You know, God is so great and so amazing. He made all the stars in the sky. He made the ocean. He made the mountains. He made everywhere you can see, He made. All the animals, all the birds of the air, and all the fish.
All these people.
And aren't they a good-looking group? You know, God made all of us. He is so great. And that's why we come to worship. Because God is great. And He loves us. And He made us. And He wants us to worship Him. And we need to thank Him. And so as a reminder of that, I've got these stars here. These are glow-in-the-dark stars. Really cool. All right, I'm going to give everybody a star. And I want you to take this home. Okay? Everybody take one. Take them, pass them down. Pass them around. There you go. Do you have anything that glows in the dark in your room?
No.
These are pretty cool.
Something that lights up and I turn it on every time I go to sleep.
I need a nightlight too. Yeah. Let's see. Who else? Everybody got one? Everybody got one? We'll even get... if you see me later, I'll give you some extras. How about that? But this is to remind you that God made the stars and He is so great. It already sticks. I want you to find a place to put this in your room and somewhere, and then when you turn out the lights at night, you'll be able to remember how great God is. Okay? Let's pray together.
Be another light bright for me.
That's exactly right. God, we love You. And we thank You for how great You are. You created all of the stars. You created the earth. You created us. You are a great and mighty God. And we can't begin to understand all of Your ways. But Father, we want to come this morning just to sing and to tell You how much we love You and tell You we know how great You are. Father, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats.
As we seek to understand the magnitude of God's love and how we may give Him glory, let us share together the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture. I'll be reading first from the Old Testament in the second book of Samuel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and then from the second part of verse 12 through verse 19. Please feel free to read along with me, whether in your own Bible or in a pew Bible, which should be located near you. From 2 Samuel. David again brought together out of Israel chosen men, 30,000 in all. He and all his men set out from Bala of Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim that are on the Ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with their might before the Lord, with songs and with harps, lyres, tambourines, sistrums, and cymbals. So David went down and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and with the sounds of trumpets. As the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent of David, the tent David had pitched for it, and David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. And now from the New Testament, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word.
Would you pray with me? Dear Father, we come together as your people, as your adopted children, your spiritual children, and we come together to praise you and to worship you. But we understand that our hearts must be pure and our hearts must be cleansed. And so we ask now that you would touch that spot within us that is impure. And that, Father, we would be faithful to offer that back to you in confession. And we know as we do that you are faithful and you are just and you will forgive our sins. That you will restore our relationship with you, our fellowship. And it's with that promise of fellowship, Father, that we can continue in worship and understand and open our eyes and open our hearts to hear what you would teach us. Father, we know that you are a perfect and you are a mighty and you are an awesome God. We also know that our responsibility is to be more like Christ, to be more like you. And Father, we know that we need your strength to do that. And we pray that as we receive the power of the Holy Spirit to guide our steps each day, Father, we pray for the courage to be the kind of people that you would want us to be, that we would be the body of Christ here on earth to reach out and give comfort and give assistance for those who are hurting, for those whose physical bodies are hurting, for those who are going through treatments for diseases, for those who have undergone surgery this week for broken bones and other parts of their bodies which seem to be failing them. We pray for those even now who are in the hospital and those who have uncertain diagnoses. Father, we know that we can be used because we've seen it so many times how you work through us to minister to others. So we pray that we would be faithful to the task. And not only to those who are physically ailing, but Father, most of all to those who are spiritually hurting, that you would quicken our steps and empower our minds and our the things that we say, and Father, how we interact with people, so that they would desire most of all to know what makes us different, and that we would have the courage to point them to you, to help them to understand that we're not perfect, we're just forgiven, and that we serve a God who is full of grace and mercy and love. Help us to be that kind of witness. Help us to be bold, but help us to be compassionate, as our Lord taught us to be compassionate. And we'll do all of this for your praise and your glory. And it's in your Son's name that we ask it. Amen.
Pray with me, please. God, our Creator, help us to recognize that we live in a world where many of your creation, our brothers, our sisters, and we ourselves are killing each other in your name. We come today at a time when, for the first time in some time, we have heard the words World War III bantered about. Help us to understand that many of your children live in a world of hunger and violence with little or no hope. Help us see that many of our church family face problems which are difficult to understand and for which there are no apparent solutions. Yet on this day we celebrate the glories of the world around us and the problems of the world we look at on the other. Help the people of College Park Baptist Church remember that we are your church. Remember that your Son taught us the commandments of loving the Lord our God with all our hearts and souls and minds, and that we should love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Help us to learn to apply these teachings in the world in which we live, that your love for us will make a difference in the lives of those in war-torn countries, those who need food, those who need support. Help us to grow in your love so that our ministries will continue to grow and reflect your love, in, whether in Kentucky or Haiti or Winston-Salem or around the world. Guide us, we pray. Amen.
comment, and it took me back to my teenage years. When I was a teenager, my family moved from First Baptist Hendersonville out to the outskirts of Hendersonville, if you will, into the community of Dana, and we attended a church named Refuge Baptist Church. And we knew, we just knew, whenever there was a guest preacher, that we were in for at least two sermons. Because the pastor would not give up airtime. I mean, we knew we were going to get a sermon during the pastoral prayer, and then we would probably get another sermon, you know, following that by the guest preacher. And the phrase that he always used after we'd already heard, you know, two sermons at least, and he was introducing the guest preacher, and it was, you know, 2 minutes till 12. And that phrase that we all dreaded, but we knew was coming, was, "Come on, brother so-and-so, and take as much time as you need." You know, oh, you just groan in the church. It's like, oh, no. But we look back, and we recall those stories. Some of them very humorous. Others are a little bit more serious. But it's good to look back because we can learn from the past. And as I was thinking over this week of people that we can look back and see their stories and learn from, my mind went to King David. Now, there's a number of levels that we can learn from King David on. But this morning, we want to look at kind of a parallel passage to what Jason read a few minutes ago. Because as the story evolves, David and selected leaders are bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And the Ark, as you recall, was God's presence. It was God's protective presence among his people. It was also the promise of prosperity and success in their military endeavors. It was given to them, the people of faith, as a reminder of God's covenant with them. And as the Ark came in, there was music. There was singing. And yes, even dancing. Yes, it's alarming to us. But there was dancing that was taking place. We know it. Scripture tells us that. And we look back on David, and we know from reading about his life, he was very much a free spirit. He was free and open in his expression of praise and worship to God. But what David is doing now is not normal. We just don't do that. It's not normal. It's not appropriate for a leader of his stature to be publicly dancing, especially in a religious ceremony. Make no mistake, the Ark of the Covenant coming to town was a religious ceremony. So some of the people there, although they were exuberant about the ceremony, were offended. Deeply offended. David's wife saw him and was deeply offended. Probably not by the style of his dancing, but the context. David, what are you doing? Sometimes our traditions, sometimes our commitment to doing new things appears inconsistent with the way that we've always done it. And as we seek to be people of faith in a relationship with Christ, sometimes we have to respond to what God is teaching us and doing through us in ways that maybe challenge other people's perception of what's acceptable. Radical changes that God sometimes leads us toward, we have to understand that that is a way to invite other people. It's not a way to divide the kingdom of God. It's a way to invite and to include more people, to invite them into God's presence, to see what worship is about, to understand that many people worship in different ways. So we need to look back, I think, and understand David and understand the context of what he did. I think we also need to look back at a fellow named Amos. Do you remember Amos and his story? A remarkable story from the Old Testament. Amos had been given a word. It was a word of challenge that God had given him, and he told him to deliver it faithfully. So Amos does that. You see, God had been measuring Israel. As we were in Kentucky, we measured a number of things. God had been measuring Israel and found out that Israel, unlike a plumb line, was out of sorts, was out of his will. And so he gives a message to Amos. Now, Amos has this message, and he has to go and he has to present it. And this was the message: all of the places of worship will be destroyed. The people, all of the people, will be carried away, and the king will be killed. If you're looking for popular messages, that's not one of them. He had an incredible task before him. It was not a popular message that he had to deliver. And the king's advisor, after speaking with the king and warning him, came to Amos and said, "Why don't you take your prophecies and go somewhere else? That's probably the best step for you, buddy. Not sure who you are, where you came from, but you need to go somewhere else with that message." And Amos looks at him and said, I'm not a prophet as you would think. I'm not part of the religious establishment. Neither was my father. By the way, I'm a farmer. I'm a farmer. But the word that I have for you comes directly from God. Make no mistake. So what happens? Sometimes God's transformation in the world is demonstrated through people that we may not expect. Perhaps we're used to hearing the same rhetoric from the same people. We trust the leaders, but yet it's kind of the same thing over and over. And occasionally God will use someone that is out of the ordinary. Many times God will use someone out of the ordinary to bring a new word, something that makes sense to us. But we need to remain open to God's actions as He speaks words through His people, perhaps in unexpected ways, at unexpected times. We need to speak with conviction from our faith. We need to allow God to use us, even though we maybe are not the ones that others would expect to hear from. So we need to learn from David. I think we need to learn from Amos too. But we also need to learn from the disciples. A remarkable group in many ways. And that leads us to our passage this morning from Mark chapter 6. I invite you to open your Bibles. Mark chapter 6. I'll begin reading with the second half of verse 6. Mark chapter 6, beginning in 6b. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, and calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. And these were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. And they went out and they preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Jesus has a new mission. He has a new mission for his disciples. He instructed them to rely completely on God for their daily needs. No extra bag, bread only for the day, and without money for a security net in case things went bad. None of that. They were to take with them only those things that they needed to go to the next city. A walking stick, sandals. For support, they were sent out in pairs. Now, sometimes our faith requires us to leave what is familiar, to leave our comfort zone. Even the familiarity of a change of clothes. You notice he says, not even an extra tunic. Not even a change of clothes. We may be called to step beyond our comfort to the extreme. Set out to see and to share and to announce the new things that God is doing through us and with us. And we're challenged to discern the essentials of new ministries. Ways that God is going to use. You look at these disciples. Could they ever have imagined when Jesus called them that that would be the extent of their ministry? To cast out demons, to heal people in Jesus' name. They were given a companion. They were sent out two by two. They were given a companion. Who are the companions that we trust? What are the ministries that God has entrusted to us? And are we being faithful? That is what we can ask ourselves as we look at the disciples. You see, Jesus had warned them. He warned them, he said, some places you go will not receive you. But what did he say to do? Knock the dust off your feet as a testimony against them and leave. Go to the next place. See, there's no promise. There was no promise to the disciples. There's no promise to us that there will be easy living as a result of being God's adopted children. There is no promise of prosperity. There's certainly no promise of popularity. And our question is, how willing are we to accept that this is our identity? That is who we are as Christ ones, as Christians. That's who we are. And it's our status by virtue of the fact that we've been adopted by God as His spiritual children. The transformation that God can work in us, and He invites us to be a part of His will challenge us. It will challenge us as we relate to other people. That's what we can learn from the disciples. So we learn from King David. We learn from Amos. We learn from the disciples. I think certainly we can look again. We can look again at Jesus. Because as you go back and you read about His life, the ways that He did ministry prompted a lot of conversation. A lot of people talked about Him. And from the religious establishment, most of it was not good. He challenged people to step outside of the normal way of thinking about God. Some people saw Him as the prophet Elijah, coming here on earth, and they trusted that He was going to deal with social injustice, to make that right, to bring in a new kingdom, a kingdom of God here on earth. Some others saw Him as a prophet, just a prophet, maybe to help the situation, to free Him from Rome and do a few other good things maybe, showing Him a new way perhaps. And sometimes new ministries that we embark upon, and I'm speaking mostly personally, but certainly it applies corporately, new ministries that God calls us to, sometimes inevitably we're going to be compared to those who have done similar ministries, those maybe they have done the same kind of ministry before us. And there's a comparison there, perhaps positive and negative. Should that hold us back? We're called to be transformed. To be transformed in the presence of a living God who has called us to ministry daily with everyone that we encounter, to be ministers of the gospel, of the good news. And we have to discern how we honor our ancestors of faith and at the same time are obedient to what God has for us in this day. So we can certainly learn from Jesus. We can learn from David and Amos and the disciples and Jesus. Who's left, maybe, that we should look at? Yeah, ourselves. Maybe we need to look again at ourselves. If we are going to hear God's voice and to be transformed by it, we must live lives that are committed to living in a new way, seeking to be agents of change, seeking to be agents of growth, to demonstrate our faith in God and to show others the nature of our relationship with God. I think that we're very confident of our faith sometimes. And that's good as long as we don't take it for granted. We need to understand that we need reminders sometimes that the blessings that we have in our life are not from anything that we've done. It's purely because of God's grace and God's pleasure that He places those blessings in our lives. And when we praise God for everything that He's done on our behalf, we have to be challenged to know how to let others know about the blessings of God and how they can receive a relationship with the God that created them. God's blessings bring transformation, not only to our lives, but also to all of creation and our relationship to that. As Jason was reading the first chapter to the book of Ephesians, Paul, as he's writing to the church at Ephesus, lists certain blessings to them. And he talks about how God should be praised as a result of those blessings. The blessings were the fact that God has already blessed us in Christ. He talked about how we are chosen in Christ. And through Christ, we have been the adopted. We have become the adopted children of God. Now, those blessings result in redemption and forgiveness, wisdom, insight, inheritance, according to God's plan for the fullness of all of creation. We become agents of God, children with a message of good news to deliver. So marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit, we are not supposed to be passive recipients of God's grace. We're supposed to be active messengers of the good news. So to be in Christ is to have a new relationship with all of creation. Jesus and His resurrection has transformed us, and it's transformed the very way that God relates to the universe. So as we look ahead in our own lives, we should be like David. We should look ahead to how God is going to lead us to worship Him both personally and corporately. As we look ahead, we should be like the prophet Amos and understand that sometimes God's word comes from unexpected sources. We should be like the disciples as we look ahead, knowing that sometimes the message that we have will be rejected. And when that happens, it is not personal rejection. It's a rejection of the message. We dust our feet and we move on, still proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And as we look ahead, ultimately, hopefully, our goal is to be more like Jesus Christ, understanding that even the Son of God was misunderstood. Even the Son of God was rejected to the point of death. So as we look ahead, we pray for the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the direction of God. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we pray that we would indeed look ahead, that we would learn from the past, that we would understand the nature of our relationship with You and the covenants that You've made with us, the blessings that You've placed on our lives, that You would give us the courage and the strength to step out boldly, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of how You loved us so much that You gave Your Son so that we could be Your children. Father, we claim that promise and we claim that blessing as we come together and ask You to lead us. That You would lead us in understanding Your ways. That You would lead us in understanding Your path for us, both personally and as a church. Father, we love You so much and we ask Your forgiveness when our actions and our words do not reflect that. But looking forward from this point, Father, we trust You completely. And we pledge to be obedient as Your children. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be here this morning and you say, Raymond, I'm not a Christian. I'm not sure of that relationship. And that is the most important decision of your life. And we want to help you with that this morning. If you are not a Christian, we want to share with you what that means, the joy that comes from that, how what eternal implications that has. So as we stand and sing in just a moment, if you're not a Christian, we want that to be settled this morning. So come, I'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you. If you don't feel like you can do that now, feel free to call me or the staff or anybody that's sitting beside you. Talk with them at the conclusion of the service or any time this week, but you need to settle that issue. I can't stress that enough. Maybe you are a believer, but you got a little bit misdirected during the course of this week, and maybe you've lost your way in terms of spiritual guidance, and you feel like, I need to get back on that path that God has for me to where I can be used by Him. more fully during this week. That could be your prayer as we stand and sing. If you'd like to share that publicly, we invite you to do that. If you're not a member of a congregation and you've experienced the warmth and the fellowship of this church and you'd like to join this church, we invite you to come and I'll be glad to share with you the many ways that we receive members. But whatever your decision is, first of all, make that right with God. And then if you'd like to share that with us, we invite you to do that as we stand and sing. Again, we invite you to be with us out on the front lawn at 6:15. 6:15 for supper and 7 o'clock for the live service. Cindy and Ron and others will be leading us as we worship, and we'll be hearing from some of our young people about their experiences at camp. I know you'll want to come and spend the evening with us. And maybe, Jeff, if we stay long enough, those stars will come out and we'll get to see the stars. So let's close in a word of prayer together. Dear Father, we pray now that you'd be with us as you bless our time in worship and as you bless our lives as we seek to serve you more perfectly. Father, we thank you for your Spirit as he leads us from this place. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.